Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The 2-2 pitch.
From KMOX Sports.
Here's a long fly ball into left field.
Pick number 2,000 for Yadier Molina.
This is Cardinals Open Line.
A swing and a long drive. Left center field. Way back to the track. To the wall.
He hits a slammer.
Now, Cardinals Open Line.
On your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Hey, great to be with you on a Wednesday night. Got a little sports open line for you till 8 o'clock following the Cardinals' 1-0 loss to the Nationals today. We're going to open up the text line. Anybody that likes to jump in and toss in some reaction, have a little Q&A back and forth, we can definitely jump in on that. You know, there's just it's hard to – I mean, when a team is not hitting much like we've seen with the Cardinals, and again, you know, we know it's hit or miss, right? I mean, there have been – sorry, that's a bad pun. I didn't mean to do that. But we know that it's been kind of all or nothing for the Cardinals most of the year offensively, right? I mean, you've got an 11-run game, a 7-run game, a 14-run game, a 9-run game, and a 12-run game. But, you know, surrounding those, you know, let's just look at these last three series as an example, right? You played Washington at Busch Stadium, and you win 14-3 in the middle of those games, but you only scored 2 runs total in the other two, right? You lose 5-2 and 6-0 in the other games. In the series in Philadelphia, you win 9-4, but you lose 9-2 and lose 2-0. And then in this series, you win 12-5, and then you lose 3-2 and 1-0. So here we have a trend. It's not a good trend, where in the last three series, you've had one game where you explode and two other games where you combined for 2 runs. And it's this wild up and down. And of course, you know, that was not unlike the Milwaukee series. You know, you had in Milwaukee, at least, you scored a few runs in the games you lost. The Marlins series went your way in large part because the Marlins' offense was worse than yours. And we know the opening series against the Reds, again, you had the big 11-6 win on opening day, but you gave up 9-12 the next 2 days. Those, to me, the runs allowed in those are a little bit of an aberration. I think we're going to start to see the starting pitching settle down a little bit. But It clearly is the offensive consistency, you know, because if you look at the numbers right now, if you were to pull up, you know, the league leaders in run, like the team league leaders in runs, the Cardinals are near the top, right? The last I didn't check this today, but when I checked it the other day, they were like number 5 in the National League in runs scored. The problem is that so much of that is basically 4 games. So as of right now, and I don't think this includes today. No, it doesn't. So coming into today, the Cardinals had the third most runs scored in the National League with 85. That's not bad, right? I mean, you look at home runs, 25, tied for the National League lead coming into today. Those are good numbers, right? I mean, that, you know, run score. But the problem, again, is that it's all basically 4 games. If you look at those 4 games where you scored 11, 9, 14, and 12, that's half of your runs, more than half of your runs scored this year in 4 of 18 games. And that it's that up and down that's the problem, because there's an extreme. You know, you don't get bonus points for winning 14-3. Unfortunately, you know, that's not how it works. And again, it's hard to answer why with one simple answer. So if you guys want to throw in your 2 cents, go right ahead. I've got the text line open, 314-436-7900. It's 314-436-7900. And we can get into this a little bit because, guys, I'm going to say there is no answer. There's nothing that we can come up with today that say, do this thing better or change this part of the batting order and it's going to fix the offense. The only thing that's going to fix the offense to make it more consistent is more players hitting. And you can say, well, that has something to do with who's in there and who's not. Sure, it does. But how much of a difference is it today if you start, let's say, Tyler O'Neill on Friday or Matt Carpenter? You know, I mean, I think the problem here is that you don't have enough people that are swinging the bats at their career norms. And that's it. I mean, that's what they need. They need more people to be getting results. Now, I'm not worried about Paul Goldschmidt as an example, right? You look at Paul Goldschmidt, he's got a 624 OPS so far this year. He's hitting 236. I'm not really worried about him. Number one, I know he's got a track record. You know, if he has two or three hot games, those numbers will start to normalize. But I also am not worried about him because the batted ball numbers are good. He's hitting the ball hard. He's hitting the ball hard a lot. He's had some bad luck. And I know it's funny because people, they're perfectly fine accepting that as an explanation for Goldie, but don't say that about Carpenter, otherwise you're an apologist. I'm just going to tell you guys the truth, man. When I look at what's happening, I'm going to tell you what's happening. I'm not going to tell you that it's okay or that it's not okay. I'm telling you what's happening. So using Goldie as an example, he's in the top 10% of Major League Baseball in average exit velocity. He's in the top 3% in hard hit rate. As of a day or two ago, he led Major League Baseball in the number of hard hit balls that anybody has. And even with all that, the numbers stink. So his batting average is 236. Based on the numbers, his expected batting average is 301. You know, he's slugging 347. His expected slugging is 533. In other words, don't worry about Goldie. He's going to be fine. Because if you keep doing that, the numbers are going to level out at some point. It's just a matter of like, all right, you're only a couple weeks into the year. Actually, we're almost 3 weeks into the season now. So you're 3 weeks into the season. He's had a string of bad luck. It's going to turn. Everything that you look at with him shows that it's going to turn. And at this point, the numbers don't look a whole lot different than that for Matt Carpenter, but I will say there's a big difference between those two guys, and one is that we know that Goldie has been consistent year in and year out, and you know we're not coming off a long stretch where there wasn't production. So I mean I understand the doubt about Matt Carpenter, but he is in the top 2% in Major League Baseball in hard hit rate. That is how often you hit the ball hard. Now there are concerning factors with him, and maybe even Goldie to a degree, because the strikeout rate is really high, right? I mean, Matt Carpenter is striking out at a 35% rate. I mean, like normal, for example, like Paul Goldschmidt, he's striking out at a 22% rate. So that is far less concerning because he is making more contact. And again, eventually, all of that hard contact is going to pay off. Now, there's less contact with Matt Carpenter, which means you don't have as much room for error. So, you know, you want to increase the frequency of the hard hit, you know, the hard hit baseballs. But, you know, I mean, like today, bases loaded, two outs. You're in the eighth inning. You're in a spot where you can win the game. What more does a guy do than hit a ball 102 miles an hour? I mean, if he hits that ball 15 feet into the gap or 15 feet closer to the line, it's a bases clearing double. But you hit it right at the right fielder, it's an out. I mean, I can't blame a hitter for that. Now, I can blame a hitter when they strike out a lot. I can blame a hitter when their walk rate declines. I mean, we can talk about those things, and those things exist. But it's also important to note that, again, these things are more about what to expect going forward. The old school numbers, right, the measurable numbers, hits, runs, those things, those are telling us the story of what has already happened. And what has happened is not enough, right? There's just no other way to say it. You know, and Carpenter said it the other day, like you got to have results. People are talking about, you know, people are not going to be looking at it at the end of the year and saying, well, man, you hit the ball hard a lot, but you didn't get any hits. I mean, no, the hits are going to be what matters. Absolutely. Because that's how you score runs. If the ball never falls in, but there is only so much a hitter is capable of doing. I mean, when you hit a ball hard, you've done your job. You can't really change too much other than that. You know, you can you can make some adjustments as far as, you know, how frequently you're going to be swinging at pitches outside the zone, for example. You can look at, you know, your chase rate and all that. But these things are not really indicating any severe problems for a couple of Cardinals hitters. Now, Lisa texted in. Again, it's 314-436-7900. Love Lisa, one of the regulars, texts in a lot. Said that she said, "Hey Kevin, that not hitting with runners in scoring positions gone on for a long time. Is that approach? Is it that you can't handle clutch moments?" It's an interesting question, Lisa. It's a lot of things, and it's different for every guy. Is it the approach? I don't know. Is the approach a problem for Matt Carpenter when you hit a line drive to the right fielder at 102 miles an hour? I'd say your approach was pretty good. You were looking for something. You got that something. You hit it hard. You hit it at the wrong guy. Could it have been a problem early in the game, for example, Dylan Carlson in the at-bat against Max Scherzer? Maybe. But it's also Max Scherzer going up against a rookie. So I think every one of these is a little different. I'm going to go, though, with the broad tent here. Like, if you're going to look at something that can cover all of these problems rather than any one particular scenario, what you're seeing is the result of not having enough people that are hitting. I mean, I think it's really that simple. The lineup's not deep enough to score more runs. There aren't enough threats that are going like day in and day out. Like, Molina has been fantastic, man. You can't ask for more from Yadier Molina. You can't ask for more than for him to have a .322 batting average and a .962 OPS and 4 home runs and leading the team with 12 runs batting. You can't ask for more from him. You know, Arenado, he got off to a good start. It's been a little slow here the last 4 or 5 days. I mean, he's got an .818 OPS. That's okay. He's hitting .268, not the end of the world. 4 home runs is nice. But again, with Arenado, we're not going to worry because over 6 months, Arenado will put up numbers because he always does. Paul DeJong, a little bit streaky, right? I mean, he's got 5 home runs. 4 of them are in 2 games. And then there's kind of gaps in there, right? But still, you know, what we haven't had enough of is the 1 through 8 getting consistent kind of, not want to say kind of, consistent production one day after the other. You know, like a lot of it looks like what we're talking about with Paul DeJong. If you look at his game log, he may be emblematic of the lineup. And by the way, that doesn't mean he's to blame for the lineup. It just means that he's kind of emblematic of what the team is. You've had a couple of really big games, right? I mean, if you look at Paul DeJong, for example, he's got 10 hits on the year. 4 of them are in those 2 games that we're talking about where he hit 2 home runs in those games. So, you know, there have been other gaps, like long stretches where you don't have a whole lot going on. He has brought his batting average up from .097 to .175 in about the last 6 or 7 games. So again, it's starting to go in the right direction, but it wasn't there for the first 10 or 11 games. And when you have a lineup that is a little bit on the thin side, and that's where it is, you don't have the room for error. You don't get the chance to miss out on opportunities. You're going to have to capitalize. And when you combine that with today facing Max Scherzer and in the 3rd game in Philly facing Aaron Nola, you know, when you're facing elite pitchers, I mean, even if you have a good lineup, you're not looking forward to facing those guys. They're probably going to get you. And when your lineup isn't deep and you're still trying to figure out how exactly does the middle of the order come together, this is the result. Now, this is also why, coming into the year, my belief was the thing that you had to lean on early is the pitching staff. The rotation and the bullpen, plus the team's overall general defensive quality, was going to have to be what you leaned on while you sort through this. I mean, right? I mean, raise your hand out there if you're listening, if you expected the Cardinals to be an elite offensive team this year. Not out of the gate for sure, right? I mean, we all had questions. Like, and if you looked at the things that were going to be questionable coming into the year, who in the outfield is going to hit? What exactly can we expect from Paul DeJong after last year? What exactly are you going to get from Tommy Edmund as an everyday player taking over for Colton Wong? Right? There were questions about exactly how the offense was going to play, and my belief was, and by the way, still is, I mean, we're 18 games into the season. This isn't a time to be drawing conclusions and freaking out. We're just observing what's happened so far. And what's happened so far is you're a couple games under 500 because you've had too many of these games where you've gotten a nothing burger. It's the third time you've been shut out in the last seven games today. You got one with Joe Ross, one with Aaron Nola, one with Max Scherzer. Again, they're all good pitchers, but and especially Nola and Scherzer. But, you know, three shutouts in the last 7 days is it's a bit rough. But we knew, I mean, I knew this because my statement about this team at the beginning of the year was simply, if they can be a league average offense by the end of the year, like if you get through 6 months and you're in the middle of the pack offensively, I think you're going to win the division. That was what I believed before the season started, and nothing that I've seen yet is going to change that. The thing that worried me the most up until the last few days, actually, was the rotation. Was the rotation not getting deep enough? And why would I be more worried about that than the offense? Because I expected that rotation to be good. Not necessarily dominant, not without Kim and Mike. Listen, I didn't think they were going to come out there and blow people away, but you knew you needed them to get some innings so that the bullpen could then carry its share of the load. I think the bullpen has been everything you wanted it to be, especially in the games where you can use it the way that you want to and not overuse it. And this series was a big step forward in that, right? You got 6, 7, and 6 innings from your starters in this series. That has to continue. Guys, this is a pitching and defense team first right now. By the end of the year, they need to develop a better offensive approach is not the right word. Well, they just need to get better offensive results. Maybe just let me simplify it. You need better offensive results over the course of the next five and a half months. That's going to be necessary over a 6 month season. But what's going to have to carry you is going to be your starting pitching, your bullpen, and your defense. And then if you get through to a certain point of the year, where the offense hasn't sorted itself out, well, then you probably have to make a deal. But you know, I'm going to save you guys some breath, man. Don't be yelling into the clouds, shouting into the universe, go make a move in April. Nobody makes trades in April. And I don't mean like nobody should. I'm just saying they don't. Teams are still assessing what they are, where they are, and what they have. So as an example, you know, you think of a team that would, you know, potentially be a seller. Let's say Seattle, right? They came into this year with a young team. They've got a couple of attractive players. Jim Bowden of The Athletic a couple of days ago wrote that he thinks Mitch Haniger of the Mariners to the Cardinals would make a lot of sense, and I agree. He's a good player. The Mariners are 11-7 right now. Do you think they're going to take some, you know, what's happening now and subtract from that at this moment? Do you think that Houston at 7-10 is going to be selling players because they're 7-10? Do you think the Yankees at 6-10 are going to be selling players because they're 6-10? Nobody makes deals in April or May. Maybe late May. But really, it's more like late June and July when those things. So again, this team is going to have to rely on pitching and defense and then some form of offense. You know, again, I keep getting back to this. If you can just be league average, you're going to be okay. So if you guys want to hang around, we got a lot more to do until 8 o'clock. I've got a bunch of messages coming in on the text line that I'm going to get to. It's 314-436-7900. We'll hit up some of those questions and comments. Again, it's 314. I say that really fast. 314-436-7900. I do that when I get excited sometimes. I talk real fast. Sorry about that. We'll get back. We'll take more of your text messages, and we'll talk a bit more about offense in general. And, you know, what I think sometimes becomes a debate about who hits where is really a discussion about what you don't have at the moment. And also want to talk about which hitters that you do have are showing you signs that there might be something good coming. I know we already talked about Goldie and Carpenter briefly. I got another guy I want to talk about in that regard who's had a pretty good week here and had a decent day today. We'll touch on that coming up next here on Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Get the inside story on what's happening with your St. Louis Cardinals this season directly from the Redbirds manager. It's the Mike Schilt Show, Sunday mornings at 10:15, sponsored by Bath Fitter on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Back in on Sports Open Line here on KMOX. We're going to get to a couple of more text messages in a couple of seconds. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. We'll take you up till 8 o'clock, and that's when Ryan Recker is going to take over with Overnight America. But I want to get to the part that I teased here in a second. You know, we talked about Goldie and some of the underlying batted ball numbers, and they tell you that basically don't worry, right? And you guys can hate me all you want. The fact is that those numbers are good for Matt Carpenter. You can be mad. You can say that doesn't win games. I know it doesn't, but it is a better predictor for future success than whether or not a bloop single fell in or whether or not you bunted down the third baseline against the shift, right? So, you know, one thing you can do over time is just keep hitting the ball hard. That's going to lead to success. And by the way, I think it's important to point out that last year, when those things did not exist for Matt Carpenter, I was pointing that out. And in 2019, when the batted ball data was saying there wasn't any more to expect, I was telling you that. I am simply telling you what the details are, right? You can choose not to believe in physics and geometry if you like, because that's all it is, man. It's physics and geometry. If you got a certain exit velocity at certain angles, you're going to get certain results if you do it over time. If you can't do it over time, and if it starts to change, I will tell you that too, right? That's all I'm doing. And by the way, I got another guy that I wanted to add to this list. Nobody's going to yell at me for this one, but they always yell at you for Matt Carpenter. Matt Carpenter, by the way, is the new Eric Brewer. Blues fans used to just constantly beat up on Eric Brewer when the team wasn't good right after the lockout. He was acquired for Pronger, and he's not Pronger. Yeah, no kidding. But, I mean, I used to do the Blues back when the Blues were on KMOX. I did the post games, and every post game is like, why didn't Brewer do this one? And I'd be like, they lost 4-0, and you're blaming one defenseman? Well, Matt Carpenter's become that. And I understand it because it hasn't been good. The last year and a half haven't been good. I mean, there's no getting around that. Anyway, sorry for the tangent. I want to get to the guy that I think has some good things coming his direction. In fact, he's already started to get these rewards when it comes to performance, and that is Justin Williams. If you look at Justin Williams over the last 7 days, now this doesn't count today, so if we add today to this, it's even better. But over the last 7 days prior to today, Justin Williams had an 856 OPS, slugging over 500. Today, you add 1-for-3 with a double and a walk to that. So over the last 7 games now, right? That was only a 6-game sample. So you go last 7 games, you know, you're looking at 5-for-21, which, again, for batting average is not going to get you excited. But the on-base percentage is good. He's drawn a couple of walks in that. The slugging percentage is fantastic. And again, I think we'd all take an 856 OPS, right? You guys realize that's way above average. You know, like, it's batting average is one thing, but like if you're over 800 on OPS, you're doing well. And if you're getting into the 850s, you're doing really well. And the batted ball numbers on Justin Williams back it up. He's in the top 3% in Major League Baseball in hard hit rate. He's in the top 8% in Major League Baseball in the percentage of hitting the ball on the barrel. So you look at all of these things, right? His exit velo is good. He hits the ball in the air. Now, he does get himself in some trouble sometimes by hitting too many ground balls. But here in the last week, we've seen when he starts to hit the ball in the air, what happens? It leaves the ballpark. And he has a couple of home runs this week. And you look at like his numbers compared to his expected numbers. You know, he's hitting .222 based on the batted ball data. The expected batting average should be .283. He's slugging .356, but the expected slug is .560. So what I would say about Justin Williams is keep an eye on him. He's starting to show you some of these things. Again, he's hitting the crap out of the ball. He's doing it regularly. And he's starting to get some results. He's not quite, you know, like Dylan Carlson, by the way, is kind of having the same dynamic, right? He didn't have a great day today, but over the last 7 days, Carlson's got 1,000 OPS. And we, you know, a lot of what Carlson has done stands out a bit more because when Carlson hits the ball, he's doing damage, right? He's got 4 home runs, a couple of doubles, and a couple of triples already. I mean, like when he's hitting the ball, he's doing damage. Yeah, 3 doubles, 2 triples, and 3 home runs so far this year. I mean, you know, we can see when those happen, and a couple of them have been really big moments. But Williams might be forcing himself into this regular conversation. So when you have everybody healthy with the way that he's producing, that could be a good thing. All right, got a couple of messages on the text line that I wanted to get to. 314-436-7900. It's from the 618. I just want to see where this one going. All right, here you go. I didn't see if there was a name on it. If you guys want your name mentioned, I'll mention it. Otherwise, I'll just go by your area code. It said the Carpenter experiment's got to end. It's been 2+ years of Carpenter not hitting. If he would just try to go to the left side, it would be awesome. Okay, first of all, you're right about the 2+ years. I mean, there's no denying that. Again, what is that based on, right? What is the concern based on for 2019 and 2020 for Matt Carpenter? Well, it was the lack of regular numbers, right? If you looked at slugging, if you looked at all that, it wasn't where it needed to be. The results weren't there. And by the way, neither was the underlying stuff. The exit velo dropped. The hard hit rate dropped. The strikeout rate went up. The walk rate went down. Like these things, this is why I'm trying to counsel people on patience, not just with this player, but please make yourself familiar with this batted ball information because it matters. When you line it up, like when you look at Carpenter's performance in 2020 and you line up the batted ball data with the actual numbers, it tells you the same story, that it's not there. It tells you that. In 2019 also, the batted ball data backed up that the numbers he put up, .226 with a .726 OPS, was about what he should have had. So when that batted ball data is not there, you can see the performance is not there. But when it is there, performance will typically come over a long period of time. The problem is, with sample sizes, right? Now, I would say this, though. If you had significantly better options, I would tend to agree with the opinion, right? So we got a text here that says, Matt Carpenter single-handedly lost today's game. No, he didn't. I mean, he had a part in it. He struck out with the bases loaded in the first inning, but so did Dylan Carlson. It's funny. When Dylan Carlson does it, nobody goes to Twitter and gets all angry. Nobody yells at me on the text line when Dylan Carlson strikes out with the bases loaded. But when Carpenter does it, it's a crime against humanity. When Dylan Carlson hits a rocket for an out, nobody goes, oh, he would have been better off with a bunt against the shift. You guys have to calm down, man. Look at what's happening. Look at the measurable things, and then we can offer opinions on that. It really isn't that hard. You know, this is a funny thing, and I know I got to take a break, so I'm going to make this pretty quick, and then I'll get a couple more texts in before we go. But these are all things. The hard hit balls, the, you know, people always hate, don't talk to me about launch angle. Fine. Let's not talk about what Ted Williams used to talk about in the 1930s. Let's not talk about something that's been known in Major League Baseball for 100 years. That when you hit the ball in the air, you have a chance to do more damage. Everybody knows this, and everybody has known it. But see, these things used to have different terms. You know, the guy that had launch angle used to have natural loft in his swing, right? That was the old scouting term. He's got a natural loft in his swing. It's going to lead to some home runs someday. It's the same thing. It's just a scientific measurement of what's happening. That's what I don't understand. Like, people, you argue against physics and geometry and math, right? Those three things, because the math will dictate the odds. So if you do hit the ball hard regularly, eventually you will get results, right? Isn't that what always people were told? This is what I was told when I was in Little League. You know, 40 years ago, 8-9-year-old Wheeler playing Little League baseball. Just hit it hard, buddy. Just hit it hard. Nobody ever said, hey, try to doink one over the first baseman's head. Go hit it hard, man. All right, I got a couple more texts, and we'll wrap things up on Sports Open Line coming up next here on KMOX.
The 2-2 pitch.
Now, back to Cardinals Open Line.
A swing and a long drive. Left center field. Way back to the track. To the wall. He hits a slammer.
On your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
All right, a couple more quick things we want to get to before we run out of time. I want to get to a couple of more text messages. First of all, I got somebody on the text line who always yells like, I'm a scout. Yeah, you're a scout that doesn't understand the quality of hard hit baseballs over bloop singles. Sure you are. I'm sure that worked out really well for you. You remind me of my coach when I struck out. He would always say, good job, good cut. No, I'm saying when you hit a line drive, I bet your coach said, that's a good at bat. Don't hang your head, right? Didn't he? Yeah, you know he did. Don't be coming at me that stuff. I got another one here. This is from the 314 saying, and this is actually, I think, even though I disagree with the point being made, I think it's a good discussion point. Said, batted ball stats don't mean much when you keep hitting into a shift. It doesn't matter how hard you hit it when the defense is there to catch it. Right. So how often have you seen Juan Soto slap singles to left field? Juan Soto hits into the shift all the time. Joey Gallo hits into a shift all the time. All of the big power hitters play to that strength. Now, again, those guys are better than Matt Carpenter. I mean, that's not the argument. We're not saying that they're the same guy. I'm saying that assumption isn't true. Because you're not going to, I mean, like when you think about the very best guys in the game. Now, the very best, like the super elites, Mike Trout, Juan Soto, these guys, they do go with the fastball away, and they hit it out to the opposite gap, right? I mean, like, those are the elite of the elite of the elite. Those guys do those things. We're not talking about every player having that same capability. But when you think about, one of the things that stands out to me, and I just said this to Mike Anderson here in the studio a second ago, is I can often tell people that watch one team and one team only versus people that watch the whole sport. Because if you watch a lot of games, you're going to see all of these things. Like Matt Olson of the Oakland A's, it gets a heavy shift every time he's up. He's a big right, big left-handed pull hitter, and he hits into the shift. But he hits the ball in the air, and he hits home runs, and he draws walks, and it works. You don't think teams shift Freddie Freeman? He doesn't slap singles to left field. Now, again, if there's a pitch up and away, he'll drive it out to left center field, but he's not out there like, oh, I'm just going to settle for a single. You think Mike Trout goes up there and is like, yep, I'm just looking for a little doink to right field. No, Now, again, those players, though, are special. But that's Nolan Arenado, right? I mean, like, that's the Arenado level. Like, he's that level of player. But a lot of the players that we're talking about are not that level of player. And asking them to be able to do the same thing that the best players can do is just not realistic. But, you know, a lot of great hitters. Bryce Harper hits into the shift. He's hitting four. When you look at his numbers, yeah, okay, maybe his batting average isn't always what excites you. But right now he's got an on-base percentage almost 500. And he's had a pretty good career, wouldn't you say? I mean, is it perfect? Well, no, but he's 28 years old and he's got 235 home runs. He's got a 900 career OPS. 900 career OPS, 900 is Hall of Fame caliber career. If you finish with a 900 OPS for your career, you'll be a Hall of Famer. Zero questions asked. That's what level of production that is. So I understand that these are kind of old school theories. And some of them are still true, right? I do think you have to be able, in certain situations, especially, right? Runners in scoring position with, you know, especially less than two outs. I mean, you do need to be able to make some adjustments, but not every hitter is as great as, say, you know, I hear this all the time. Well, Tony Gwynn could do it. Yeah, there's been one Tony Gwynn in the last 40 years, right? Two maybe. You had him and Wade Boggs at the same time. Right? That's why those names stand out, because there have not been that many of them. I will say this. Big Al makes a point on the text line, 314-436-7900. He said, too bad Arozarena didn't get this many chances. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah, I remember saying that in 2019. I remember saying that a lot. And I also recall the team itself here in the last offseason saying the same thing too. Like, yeah, we really wish we would have done that differently. So yeah, I agree with that. That would have been potentially very helpful. Because he's, you know, but here's the funny thing is, it's early, and I don't think anybody should draw a judgment about it. But Arozarena's not off to a very good start. Now, he's hitting the ball hard, though. But see, with a player you like, oh, hitting the ball hard's a good thing. When it's a player you're mad at, it doesn't matter anymore. We got to get past that. Guys, trust the math and the science. It will see you through. Thanks for tuning in, man. We appreciate you jumping in on Sports Open Line. We got another ball game for you on Friday, and we'll have the strike zone, all baseball for you, 2 hours tomorrow night here on Camo X.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.